Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve and we are on day two of this month's lesson called Global Trash Problem. We're talking about the environment and we're talking about how the problem has reached a crisis level. And I would say it's been at crisis level for many, many years, but it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger. There's no solution in sight, and the author says this could be a very grim, grim problem, a very depressing problem. Are there solutions? Is there hope for this problem? With me to discuss this problem is Luke. Welcome, Luke.
Hey, Steve.
Welcome back to day two of this lesson. And with us as well is Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Steve.
Linda has a lot to say about global trash problems.
I'm glad to be back. I mean, not to, you know, discuss how grim the problem is, but there is hope. There
yes.
are solutions, and we'll be talking about those today.
Good. We look forward to hearing from you about those. I need some hope. It doesn't look very bright for me. It looks kind of bleak. Global trash. It's everywhere, right?
Mm.
And look at those pictures on the page, the left side of page 32. Oh, you know, just... where's the hope in that? Well, we want to just touch on a few points that we talked about yesterday before moving into today's lesson. So, Linda, I'm going to ask you to go first. What is one thing that you would like to point out?
Well, yesterday, the second question was, why are Americans so oblivious to this waste problem and the amount of waste they're producing? And it's because... we don't see the problem. In the U.S., the trash is taken away, and we don't have to worry about it. And it's also due to the culture. We live in a culture that is of convenience and of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes us very oblivious to this trash problem.
Right. I think if Americans were forced to go to a landfill once a year, or something like that, to just be aware of the amount of trash that they produce, or travel overseas for a little bit. And I think that's where I would say the three of us really began to become aware of this problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I know it's true for me, and you mentioned that yesterday. When you were in Africa, you became more aware of this problem.
Right.
And Luke, what is something you'd like to share with us?
Well, yesterday we kind of touched on the scope of the waste problem, that each year we're generating a lot of waste, to say the least, and every year it's getting bigger and bigger, this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it impairs public health, it pollutes our environment, and it threatens to drown poor countries into toxicity.
Yep, that's a tough word. You did a good job. Toxicity.
Thanks.
Not easy. Well, something that I want to reiterate is how when we bury trash or we throw something on the ground, something maybe even as small or as innocent as a battery,
mm-hmm.
right, that could leak, and it probably will leak over time, and get into the ground, and that's not a good thing. When that stuff get enough trash or the leakage, it will seep into the groundwater. And when people drink the water, they get sick. It'll affect their health. So if it doesn't seep into the groundwater, maybe it'll run off into a river and affect the environment, the fish, and all the plant life there. Mm-hmm. So little things. It starts with little things, becoming aware and putting trash where it needs to go, recycling batteries, not putting those in the trash. And everyone should be aware of these things and grow in their knowledge of the trash problem.
Right. Yeah. Awareness is very key.
Yeah. And we hope that through today's lesson that you will become more aware of the global trash problem. Well, let's get started on today's lesson. We're on page 33. So if you have your advanced magazines, please open up to that page and let's begin reading. We'll just start with the first few paragraphs, a waste and threat to all.
A waste and threat to all. When waste is not collected, the frequency of illness such as diarrhea doubles, and acute respiratory infection, linked to the burning of waste, is 6 times higher, Ijez Vasquez said. At the same time, those who forage through the dumps expose themselves to hazards, such as lead and mercury, and infectious agents.
Okay, we don't see this too much in the United States because trash collection is so prevalent. It's not really a problem, but when waste is not collected, sometimes the garbage men will go on strike, right? You ever experience that in your hometown?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see that in big cities, like sometimes in New York City or Chicago, the trash collectors will go on strike and the garbage will just pile up in the streets. And it's amazing how quickly those piles grow. Mm-hmm. And if it happens in the summertime.
Oh, then it really starts to smell.
It gets stinky. And then Americans are made aware very quickly of how important trash collection is.
Definitely. And I don't know if you've ever been near a landfill, but some people live, you know, in the vicinity of one, and you get that smell all the time, especially when the breeze starts blowing.
Oh, no. Yeah, it never goes away.
No.
There's always that faint smell of garbage, even if the garbage has been buried.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seeps up through the ground, and you can smell it. In poorer countries where waste is not collected, the frequency of illness, such as diarrhea, doubles. And that's a very, very big problem for people's health and also the respiratory problems that are incurred and the respiratory infections. When we talk about respiratory, we see that word. What is that related to, Luke?
It's related to how we breathe. Through our lungs.
Right. We have a lung infection and it becomes very hard to breathe. We might start coughing and we have this persistent cough perhaps we can't get rid of. There's an infection in our lungs and that's very, very dangerous because people are burning their waste. And again, we said when you burn your waste, you create air pollution. And some people burn their waste very close to their homes, where people are living. Some people burn waste inside their homes, believe it or not, and that is a problem. Okay. At the same time, though, those who forage through the dumps expose themselves to very, very dangerous hazards. You might see pictures of this, children climbing through piles, giant mountains of garbage. Have you seen pictures of that, Linda?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have, especially in developing countries or poor countries. See children, or they might be orphans, or they might have parents, but they're poor, so they can't afford food, and they have to go foraging or looking for food and other items in these dumps.
Amazing. Like, this is their day. I just can't believe it. I've seen pictures and had friends go visit places like the Philippines. There are certain places there that have these giant mountains of garbage where children are going and collecting bottles and just trying to earn a living picking through this trash. What a grim, grim future they have. And I wonder how that affects their health. It can't be very healthy to be walking through that and exposed to that. And just imagine, I feel so nervous for them. What if they happen to step on a needle or just they're exposed to all kinds of different dangers doing that, foraging?
Yeah.
Let's look at this word forage quickly. Luke, what does this mean?
Well, to forage means to go from place to place searching, especially for food, as Linda mentioned earlier.
Okay. So not only might they expose themselves to needles, but also lead and mercury, as I said earlier, through computer parts or batteries, and that's not good, and other infectious agents. So it's a big threat, a big problem in this world. Let's go now to our lesson's fourth and final question. What's the solution?
Question. So, what's the solution? Answer. Many people think it is just about getting an incinerator and it's all fixed, said Ijaz Vasquez. This is part of the solution, but technical and engineering solutions are not a silver bullet. The key is ensuring the waste actually gets collected for disposal, Ijaz Vasquez said. You can't do anything if you have a fancy landfill and there's no way to get the waste there. Changing behavior so that people and societies are encouraged to reduce and recycle waste is also crucial. Since 2000, the World Bank has contributed about $4.5 billion to support 329 solid waste programs around the globe. They include projects such as basic trash collection and disposal, reuse and recycling, and initiatives aimed at changing habits related to waste.
Well, I have to agree, during the break, we were discussing this trash problem, and it does seem very depressing, and we need some good news, right? Mm. We need to have a solution. What are people saying the solution is? And so we can talk about that in these next moments. And one thing that is part of the solution, though it's not the end-all, is incinerators. We see that word there. What is an incinerator, Linda?
Well, it's something that will burn the trash and, well, do it in a more efficient and a safer way than just burning it with fire.
Right.
But putting it in, and so it's enclosed. But it will still produce some sort of pollution. And this is part of the solution, but it's definitely not, here they refer to it as the silver bullet.
Mm.
It's not a magical solution, and
okay.
It's not the one thing that needs to be done.
Right. Incinerators are places where trash is burned, and I think, I don't know a lot about it, but I think the temperature is very, very high, and so, as you said, Linda, the trash gets burned more efficiently, and there are fewer emissions, and even some incinerators will have scrubbers or filters on the exhaust so that it will capture a lot of that stuff that's going into the atmosphere and that won't pollute the air as much. Okay. What is the key, though? Next, Luke?
Well, here we read the key is ensuring the waste actually gets collected for disposal. And Vasquez, he mentions you can't do anything if you have a fancy landfill, but no way of getting the waste.
Right,
there.
Right. And that requires money, mm-hmm. trucks maybe, or personnel to work the garbage trucks and get that trash out of the communities and into the landfills or the incinerators. A landfill, let's talk about that for a moment. Linda, what is a landfill?
Well, a landfill is a place where you dump trash, either by piling it, you know, to create a mountain, or by burying it in the ground.
And you don't really want to live near a landfill if you can help it.
don't.
Because landfills stink,
yeah,
especially in the summertime. As I mentioned earlier, even after they, well, some places, after the amount of garbage in the landfill reaches its limit, they will put dirt, layers of dirt on mm-hmm. top, and maybe even create a park.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, put grass on it. And so it looks like a hill.
It looks like a nice park, and there are flowers, but there's garbage.
Yeah, buried underneath.
Underneath you. And sometimes mm-hmm. that can still even stink a little bit.
Yes, it definitely can. It isn't near to where I used to live, but there was a landfill, and they did cover it with grass, and so it looks like a hill. But you know it's not a hill because in Florida, in Miami, there are no hills. It's all flat. And it was referred to as Mount Trashmore. And on windy days, like we lived quite far from it, but on days where the wind just carried this thing, we could actually smell it.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
So it does have far-reaching effects.
Yeah, that's too bad. Mount Trashmore. Yeah. Okay, well, changing behavior so that people and societies are encouraged to reduce and recycle is also crucial. This is something we referred to or mentioned earlier is just being aware of the problem. And for some people, it takes a trip overseas to really become aware that their home country produces so much waste and that they're consumers. But just talking about it really helps. Right, Luke?
Yeah, exactly. And I do believe that this article does a really good job of bringing that awareness. For our readers, I really hope that you're tuning in closely to this.
Yeah, so reduce and recycle. And there's one more, reuse.
Right.
The three R's. Have you heard of those, Linda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think most people are familiar with the three R's. And reduce, reuse, recycle. And you should try to do it in that order. The first being reduce, just try to limit the amount of waste that you produce or things that you consume so you produce less waste. And then if you have to use it buy it, try to reuse it. Reuse it as many times as you can. And then as a last resort, I guess, is recycling. But recycling isn't as, effective because it takes energy to recycle those materials and to create new materials. So the number one is first try to reduce.
Interesting. I never knew that there was a particular order that I should do that in. Cool. Yeah. Reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Right. People think, most people do recycle and they think, okay, that's my contribution to the environment, But really it uses more energy and actually might consume more resources to recycle.
Okay. I'm thinking of an example right now I'll share with you. In the kitchen, you have dish soap, liquid dish soap to clean your dishes. And usually it's a hefty plastic bottle with a press mechanism on it. The pump to squirt the soap out.
Hmm.
Well, when that's empty, instead of buying a new big plastic container, some stores now are offering the bags of soap that you can refill those with. So instead of buying the thick, heavy plastic, buy just one of those thin plastic bags, not a bag, but it's a pouch or something, and you refill that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't buy and create that waste of throwing away the pump and the heavy plastic, right? So that's kind of what we're talking about here, with being mindful that we don't need a new pump. That pump is still working.
Right.
And if you throw it away, there's a little spring inside, and that can add it up, can create quite a bit of waste.
Right. Yeah, and I really hope, like Luke said also, that people will, be more aware and take away a lesson from this article, and that we need to, we need to do our part. If each one of us does our little part, that will make a difference.
That's right. That's right. Okay, next it says, since 2000, the World Bank has contributed a lot of money, $4.5 billion, to support solid waste programs around the globe. And that's a lot of money, but as we said yesterday, the U.S. spends about $200 billion a year. So compared to that, it's not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They include projects such as trash collection and disposal, reuse and recycling, and initiatives aimed at changing habits. What's an initiative, Luke?
An initiative is a movement intended to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you give me an example, either of you, of an initiative or something that might happen as we talk about trash? How about just making people aware, having like this community meeting and saying, let's try to change our habits. That could even be an initiative, right?
Right.
Is educating the people.
Mm-hmm. Like starting a project to, see how much people can recycle or, what they can do, in their lives to contribute to this effort.
Right, right.
Challenging people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder, we talked about our habits, our personal habits, the three of us. I think my habits have changed over the years concerning trash. What about you, Luke?
Oh, definitely. I'm in the same boat. since living here in Taiwan, I'm definitely more aware of the kind of trash that I produce or generate. And it's for the better.
I think. Linda, you have changed your habits. I'm sure.
I mean, like I said before, I've always been aware of this issue. But, yeah, I try to, produce less waste. And actually, a goal would be to create zero waste. And there's actually this lifestyle or this term, zero waste living.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to, to create, like, get to the goal of creating no waste. And there, it does take effort, but there are ways to do that.
That sounds impossible.
I haven't gotten to there yet. I'm not really close to
where are you?
To
like
that
40?
Point.
40%?
But I'm always aware of that. Like, I know, okay, if I buy this, like, I'm, it comes in packaging, and I have to get rid of this packaging. And, I actually feel bad when I throw stuff away.
Uh-oh.
It literally, like, when there's waste, like, it literally pains me. Like, if I, for example, food waste, I waste food, maybe it's spoiled because I kept it in the fridge too long or I didn't eat it in time and I have to throw it away, I really feel bad about that. And so if it's something like cheese, because cheese, it's hard to get and it's expensive here, like, I won't allow myself to get cheese for a while,
Wow.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I think I've been to a meal or two with Linda in a local restaurant, and well, I don't know if you cleaned your plate.
Usually I do.
Really?
I do.
Sometimes you don't,
though.
Otherwise
I feel really bad.
Yeah, there's this guilt factor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I hope that doesn't affect you too badly. too much guilt is not good, right?
Right. Well, I mean, a little guilt is, if it motivates you, to do better, I think it's okay.
Okay.
And I also try to encourage other people, so not making them feel guilty, but, trying to encourage them to do the same.
Okay.
But I don't think people care about it as much as I do,
Yeah.
Which I find frustrating sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But,
That's good that your habits have changed. And trying to make others aware of the same problem. That's what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's finish up today's reading. We'll wrap it up starting on line 19.
In some countries, informal waste workers have been given formal employment opportunities in waste management. In the United States, where recycling programs have been operating in full force for years, some experts believe the answer to reducing waste lies in charging for its disposal by weight or other metrics. Waste Zero promotes a bag-based pay-as-you-throw program. Used in more than 800 cities and counties across the country, the program charges residents a set fee in cash for each bag they dispose of at a drop-off location. The program has resulted in an average waste reduction of 44% and often doubles recycling rates, according to Waste Zero statistics. When you charge for something, people use less of it, and in this case, it's less trash, Dancy said.
Okay, some countries are giving informal waste workers titles and formal employment opportunities in waste management. This is good. What we are doing here, I think, is raising the profile of people who take care of trash and saying, listen, your job is important. Okay, we want to officially recognize you. We want to officially pay you some money because what you do is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's positive. That's another thing. It's another initiative that's happening. What's happening in the United States, Luke?
Well, in the United States, recycling programs have been operating in full force for years. And I feel like we do see hope,
mm-hmm.
the hope that we were looking for earlier, how we're giving these workers, like you mentioned, that profile, and how these we're investing money into supporting these different programs to take care of these waste issue.
Okay. And what's happening in the United States is that there's going to be a waste zero promotion where you pay as you throw, meaning as you throw the bag into the garbage truck, you pay. Instead of pay as you go, it's a takeoff on that phrase. And so what this is that you will pay for the amount of garbage you produce. And this is actually helping.
Yeah, yeah. It will definitely be more effective in making people more aware and conscious of the waste they produce.
And this is something that's been happening here in Taiwan for a few years in Taipei. Many people remember when the trash was piling up in the streets, and then this new initiative where you had to buy the blue bags, and when you throw out the garbage, you use these bags, and you pay for the bags, and that has actually helped a lot. I wasn't around when the trash was in the streets, but it seems to be a good system that works.
Yeah. But funny, like when I learned I had to pay for trash bags, and, you know, they're much more expensive than the regular trash bags. Like, I was sort of appalled. What? I have to pay so much money for a trash bag?
That's something you would totally get behind. Who cares how much they cost?
But, yeah, I understand the, you know, the reasoning behind it and, yeah, the purpose.
Right. And the principle is when you charge for something, people use less of it. And in this case, it's less trash. So that's a good initiative, and I think it works here and it's working in the States, and maybe this model can be reduplicated in other parts of the world as well. Well, that's some good news, right?
Yeah.
So we leave this lesson on a positive note. It started out kind of grim, and I think we can leave having some solutions in mind. So we hope that you're more aware of the trash that you generate in your life and reduce that somehow, or reuse it, repurpose it, recycle it, fix it, do whatever you can to produce less trash. Well, friends, we're out of time. Thanks again for joining us today here at Advanced. For all of us here, it's time to say goodbye. Have a great day.